some of the biggest brands that you'll see sending really incredible email marketing are using lots and lots of images, so many images. And that's actually not a best practice, because if it doesn't load, then someone's not getting anything from your email.
Welcome to the Winning with Shopify podcast. This is the podcast to help you scale your Shopify store into a money-making machine. Email has the highest ROI of all marketing channels. Are you maximizing its potential and growing your list? Drive conversions and create more connections with Siguno, the top-rated email marketing platform built exclusively for Shopify. Siguno is offering Winning with Shopify listeners an extended free trial, plus a complimentary strategy session with an email marketing expert. Visit Siguno.com/winningwithshopify to claim your offer. Now, over to your host, Nick Truman.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Winning with Shopify podcast. For anyone that's not tuned in before, welcome to the show. My name's Nick. I have been hosting the show for just over 3 years now, heading towards 3.5 years. And it's a pleasure to have you tuning in for the first time. If you like today's show, leave us a review, hit the subscribe button, and tell everybody about the show that is interested in e-commerce, because we're trying to grow things. We want to get more people involved. And we've got some phenomenal guests lined up and some amazing episodes to check out previously. If you're tuning in, it's not the first time. And if you're anyone I've spoken to recently, I've had loads of conversations with you guys. It's so good to have you guys tuning in and listening to the show and supporting us as well. So welcome back. Thanks for joining us. It's great to have you with us. If you haven't already, please check out the website, winningwithshopify.com. It's still in its infancy. There's still lots of stuff we want to do to it. But if you want to ask us a question, go to winningwithshopify.com, fill out any form on the website. The secret is they all come through to Byron and myself, even though the forms look different. But fill out any of the forms on the website, ask us some questions, especially if you've got a question either for Siguno, one of our guests over the next few weeks and months, or you've got a question about email, especially, because we're covering email for a few months now. So drop us any question about those things. If we read out any of your questions as well, sometimes I just flow them into the content. Sometimes I shout you guys out. So if you want to get a shout out, do that. Tell me your store, your name, etc. And we'll get you featured on the show. Now, today we're talking about something very, very exciting. So we've spoken a lot about email over the years. And something we've never really spoken about in relation to email is email design. Now, joining me today is a very special guest. Her name's Catherine. She's the services lead at Siguno. So Catherine, without further ado, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks so much for having me, Nick. I'm very excited to be here and very excited to nerd out about email design with you.
Good stuff. Well, nerding out about marketing topics is something I love doing. So I'm super excited about this. But as we ask all of our guests, just before we dive in, tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your role within Siguno as well, and then we'll dive into talking about design.
Yeah, absolutely. So I started at Siguno, which for those who don't know, it's an email marketing platform that's built exclusively for Shopify. Started there as an email designer and now have the opportunity to work at Siguno as the services lead, which means I work one-on-one with Shopify merchants, kind of up-leveling their email marketing through strategy and design. And it's absolutely awesome. I love the merchants I have a chance to work with. It's constantly interesting, never boring, and design is still a really big part of what I do.
Awesome. Now, we've got a few different topics we're going to talk about today, which relate to everything you've just said. What we want to get across to everybody listening, we want to give you guys a load of different tips, things you can do with your email design to make email as effective as possible. So my first question really, Catherine, is, and the first thing I think we should talk about is, how important, like, is the design versus product quality, content of the email, et cetera, et cetera? So how important is design in that whole process?
Oh my goodness, that's such a great question. Honestly, I think that if you take a look at design, and maybe it's worth breaking down like what we mean by the email design. I think of the design not just as the images in the email, but as the combination, like the way that the images and the content work together to help you communicate with your audience. So from that perspective, like, yes, I'd say the design is extremely important, because it isn't just images, right? It's how the whole message is working together. I'm a little bit biased, obviously, as an email designer. I do think it matters. But, you know, kind of breaking your question apart even more, like, I've seen people send out like really beautiful, high quality emails with animated GIFs, like the works, do just as well as like a really simple plain text note from a founder, right? Wow. So in terms of, do you need like a super flashy, image driven designed email design to do just as great as something simple? Like, no, I don't think it has to be, doesn't have to be super involved, but it does have to work. And what makes an email design work is ultimately how it's connecting with your audience. So it's really, yeah, all about that connection, starting from a place of connection.
Nice, nice. Right. First few tangents then. So the first one really is, you mentioned text and imagery in an email, but you also said that some people have it all singing or dancing, like GIFs. So like a moving image with like several frames that does something to bring it to life.
Yeah.
Would you ever put video into an email?
Yeah. Well, so that's a great question. Currently video is not supported in email, which means like if somebody opened your email, they wouldn't be able to see the video. But GIFs, I think, are the best way to kind of hint at or tease a piece of video content to get folks clicking through to the actual video where it's hosted on your site.
And I guess one big question on GIFs, and I think GIFs are a lovely stopgap because, as you say, you get the movement, but email, a video on email, it often adds it as an attachment, doesn't it? And it's a huge attachment, so it's not going to get through spam filters and it's going to clog up people's Gmail accounts and whatnot. But certainly with the GIF, what's a good way to create that? Is there like a way of doing it? Is there a kind of do's and don'ts with GIF content? And we'll come on to kind of the bigger, wider content email in a minute, but just in terms of adding a GIF, is that something somebody can just make in Photoshop or buy one off a stock website?
Yeah, for sure. I'd say if you've got an email tool, like a design tool that you're working with, that's probably the best place to start. Photoshop is, I think, a super robust design tool that makes it easy to create GIFs. There's also ways that you can take snippets of video content that you have and turn that into GIFs. There's some free tools online that you can search for and use. I know Canva is a really popular design tool. It's certainly one of my favorites, and it's easy to create GIFs in a Canva doc. And a tool like Suguno makes it easy to create GIFs just like right within your email editor. So you can actually kind of flip between images and create animation right within the email editor in Suguno. So yeah, I think there's a ton of different design tools that you can use to make GIFs, right? The most important part though is making sure that the GIF is not too large. And when I say large, I don't mean like the size necessarily, but the weight, right? Like the weight of that image inside of the email. Because if it takes too long to load, it's not going to have any impact at all. So all of the effort that you spent in creating a really cool piece of animation will be wasted, sadly.
And I think it's a really important point actually about the weight, the size of the actual file itself in the GIF. If it's too big, spam filters and stuff are going to not actually send the email, are they? Or they're not going to accept it into somebody's inbox, or they might go, there's a large attachment which we don't recognize from this unknown company. It might be the first time you've subscribed to that company and they're trying to send you this massive email. Email is always a very scary thing, isn't it? Because you don't want to get picked up by spam filters. You want to make sure you get into people's, actually get into their inboxes and actually, you know, meet the requirements of the email's not too big. It doesn't contain dodgy links, et cetera, et cetera. It's about trust, isn't it, with the ISPs?
Yeah, 100%. I think in terms of email weight, you know, for an image, if the file size is too big, it's simply not going to load. And so it's just not going to be impactful, right? When we're talking about an email that's sent through your email marketing platform, the emails aren't attached in quite the same way as when you and I would send an email to one another and add an attachment. So it's really about that load time. And again, goes back to the connection that you're trying to make with your audience. And if they don't have the opportunity to see what you're putting inside of the email, you know, what really is their experience with the email, right? I do think it's worth noting that Gmail will clip emails at a certain weight, right? So if you're sending like something that's way too long, I don't know if you've ever seen that, but it'll say kind of like your message has been clipped. And that's essentially because there's too much content inside of the email. And the risk there, as you were mentioning before about trust, is that the opportunity to unsubscribe for folks to say, hey, I'm actually not interested in this content, gets like totally hidden. And that's when people could potentially flag your email as spam. So I think that is the risk with sending emails that are way too long or that aren't loading. Like, people aren't going to have a great experience. And so when somebody's getting something in their inbox that they don't like, that doesn't feel relevant, they're going to be tempted to either click unsubscribe, totally fine, or click spam, which we obviously do not want. And that can hurt your trust for sure.
Yeah. And I think in this day and age as well, it's almost inexcusable, isn't it? There are so many good tools to shrink things, and you can actually send a huge amount of content in an image these days at very high quality with a very small file size. So I almost feel like there's no excuse. Like,
yeah,
talk to an expert, use the right system, and you'll be able to do that.
100%. I do think like, it's so interesting that we've gotten on this topic about images and email. Some of the biggest brands that you'll see sending really incredible email marketing are using lots and lots of images, so many images. And that's actually not a best practice. I think a combination of live text and images is really the strongest play for email. So that's definitely what I would recommend, is don't put all of the information inside of an image, because if it doesn't load, then someone's not getting anything from your email. But use a combination of really engaging, beautiful images and your text, which is like where that content is, where the actual message piece is happening. That to me, I think, is the strongest strategy. But you'll see big brands just do only images all the time.
Yeah. I think bringing the first case study into play, I can't remember the name of the brand, but as you just mentioned, big brands using big images or lots of images. I remember getting an email once that had one image in it, and it was an ice cream cone. And it was so good. It had a blue sky background, and there was an ice cream that had, I think there was something like 50 to 100 scoops of ice cream. And I saw this on my phone. It came up, and I was like, that's just the top of an ice cream. So I scrolled down a bit, and I was like, there's more ice cream. And there were just loads of scoops all on top of each other. And this big, long line. And I got to the bottom, and it just said, if you love ice cream and the color of ice cream, you'll love our new spring summer range. Shop now. And I thought, this is so
That's awesome. Image,
a line of text and a button. That was it. And I went and looked at it. I was like, this is, and one thing I love about email, and I think this brings on nicely, actually, talk about the content, how you come up with good content, is I think with email, you've got such an awesome opportunity to do what I would, as someone who does a lot of customer acquisition, we call it external communications. We're communicating externally, but this is internal comms to your internal customers, existing people that have subscribed or bought a product previously. There's such a unique opportunity actually to be playful, to have more of a conversation with them, which you could never really get away with on a Facebook ad, or, you know, if you landed on something like that on the website, you'd be like, what are these guys doing? But as a part of a communication piece, going, hey, customers, check out this ice cream, is quite fun. So I guess the next question really is, let's talk about content. Like, how do you, as a business, how do you come up with good content to put into your emails? And how do you get that into a decent design as well?
Yeah, that is such an awesome question. Again, I really think it comes back to that place of connection. So thinking about your customers, thinking about your subscribers as your people, they want to hear from you. There's something about your brand and your business that they're uniquely attracted to. That's what you want to capture inside of your email content. You want to think about kind of them first and what they are excited about, what matters to them, what problems they may be facing, kind of what their day-to-day looks like, and be relevant to that group of people. They are interested in having so much more than just like, here's the latest sale that you're happening. They're interested in hearing more, having more of an experience, kind of being delighted. So it's an opportunity to really delight, surprise, and engage with your audience. And like you were mentioning before, like more than just a, here's the latest sale that we're having, here's like the latest product. It can be a lot more interactive, a lot more playful, and can contain a lot more of your personality. So I do think it all starts with, who are you speaking to? What are they going through? How can you send something that's relevant, meaningful, helpful to them, or that will just delight them and surprise them, and they'll be excited to see. So yeah, that place of connection is what it's all about.
I think that word connection is so important, isn't it? This is the way that you connect with your customers. And I guess one thing you should be looking at in all the stats of your email as well is going, are we connecting? Are there any stats to tell us that people are reading our emails, they're clicking on our emails, or are we not connecting? Because if you're not connecting, then you're kind of missing all the rest of it, aren't you? That word is so powerful, I think.
Yeah, it is super. Yeah, 100%. I think that's the basis of like really great email marketing. It all stems from great connection. And obviously, you know, I think most people would think of their email marketing as kind of serving two purposes in the inbox. It's building brand affinity, right? So that's that kind of surprise, delight. That's that engagement. That's, I got a playlist sent to me by my favorite brand. Stuff that isn't necessarily related to making a sale, but it's building that relationship with your subscriber, meeting them where they are. But there's also, of course, that conversion piece too, right? That's another way that we can measure the effectiveness of an email. Because as someone's trust and experience and the way that they like your brand, as that grows, their likelihood that they're going to convert and shop with you and become really great loyal customers also grows. So once you get into a great rhythm, it is an incredible flywheel. I mean, you're just building off of the relationships that you're creating with your subscribers to something really successful.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing. Amazing. And I guess a question that it just popped into mind that I think leads off that quite nicely is when you're trying to come up with an email. So when you're working with a merchant, it's like, okay, we want to get a message across. How often do you start with the design first to go, based on your branding, here's a really cool design of an email. Now let's get the, let's come up with a message to put in that fits with the design because it just looks so sleek versus coming up with the message first and going, we want to get this announcement out there. Let's design an email that gets that message across. Like, is it 50-50? Is it 99% content first? What's a good way to approach it?
I do think that starting with the content is really, really important. But if you are a brand that's extremely image driven or you have incredible visuals, it would be, I mean, you'd be remiss to like not include that in the email and make sure that that was kind of a, yeah, a key part. So I think it kind of depends on what the promotion is or what you have going on. But in general, I try to approach it. If images were turned off for this email, would people still feel just as excited to click? You know, you kind of want to think about the words that you're using. And that's where the subject line, I think, also kind of is part of the design in some sense. Like, you are building the excitement for what's inside, right? So visuals are awesome. Emails can look amazing. I'm still stuck on that ice cream example that you mentioned earlier.
I would try and dig it out, but it was a few years ago. The design versus content question is really key because we had a good friend, which has become a good friend from being on the show so often and various webinars, called Janice from Look Fabulous Forever. So they're a UK business who, it's makeup for over 50s, over 60s women. Fascinating business, but I was still absolutely stumped by a statistic she shared, and I think it was February of this year. They send 365 emails a year. So one a day to their audience, and they get a 50% open rate. Now, the fact I remember those figures after the amount of guests and projects and clients and stuff I work on is staggering. So I guess the question really, and this kind of it relates to design as much as content, is how do you come up with that many stories? Is a question I asked Janice. So I'm going to ask you the same question, Catherine. With Shopify merchants, you must get it a lot where they're like, we need to send emails. Revenue's too low from email. We need more revenue. We're not engaging them enough. They forget who we are. They don't come back or automatically. We need to engage with them more. How do you start kind of, I don't know if the word's even politically correct now, but like brainstorming, you know, coming up with ideas and mapping out what we should talk about on those emails. Like, what's a good place people can kind of start with that?
Oh man. Oh, I love this question. I think the easiest place to start is just like looking at the calendar. That might sound kind of silly, but if you can put yourself like in your customer's shoes and think about what they're experiencing throughout the year, sort of like what their life looks like throughout the year, that's going to be, I think, a great place to start in terms of, yeah, like you're saying, maybe sparking some ideas for content that you could share with them. For example, you know, if you sell, I don't know, candles, right? You're a candle company and you're trying to come up with candle content. You want your emails to be like very engaging. You want people to be clicking. You want to see more revenue, like you were saying, from email. You know, looking at the calendar and thinking about what people are experiencing over the course of the year that would drive them to think about your product, where your product would be a solution for them, I think is a really easy way to kind of like jump into a content plan. For this candle company, you could look at it, you know, spring cleaning as a perfect opportunity to mention not just new fragrances of candles, but people want their homes to look and feel fresh. It's the end of the winter season. People are looking forward to having fresh air. And so that's something that you kind of speak to, right? That's people are feeling like stuffy, like inside doesn't feel as good. And they want something to kind of like liven their indoor experience. That's where your product could really be a solution for them. Or as people are starting to kind of transition into a fall season, they're thinking about kind of cozy, like that's an opportunity to suggest, you know, this can really change the mood in your home and make things feel warmer, make things feel cozier. So you're kind of like looking at the year and thinking through your customer's journey, their experience, and then thinking, how does my product kind of come in as the solution for what my customers are experiencing? I think that's an easy way to jump into mapping out a content strategy for your email marketing.
I'm just going to pick up on that calendar idea. I think that's really interesting because I think there's almost two calendars, aren't there? Or maybe even three. One's what I call the retail calendar. So we've got Christmas, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Valentine's Day, Halloween. There's obvious, and then you've got the four seasons of the year. There's a second calendar, which is almost like your business cycle. So you might, the candle company might release new candles every 2 months. So six times a year, you've got something to talk about, which is the new stuff. Or you might say, actually, we've got something new coming. We need to get rid of all these other candles. So we're having a flash sale. And there's something to talk about to get rid of the old stock, etc. And then there's the third one, which I love that example you just gave. I mean, actually, your customers, what are they going through at different points of the year? And I guess something we've not mentioned on this episode yet, but we've mentioned almost every episode about email. If you talk to your customers and ask them questions, you could literally do a survey. And that's something that Janice said she was doing with their brand. Is they send out a survey and they say, like, what do you want to see changed? What are you going through at the moment? What are you struggling with? How can we help? And then they almost send the next email going, you spoke, we listened, we're changing this, we're doing this, we're doing this. And can you tell us more? You know, and it's like, and actually quoting people and, you know, reaching back out to them individually and going, sorry, you've just put this note on our survey saying, like, you're straight. Do you mind us using your name? You know, can we add your name to put some authenticity onto the one customer's told us this, a lot of you have agreed, we're going to change this. That you've now got a VIP customer for life. You've just had the CEO of one of your favorite brands email you, as you said right at the start, about a plain text email. So I just love those ideas about the calendar. I guess my next question then, which kind of leads on in terms of process. So let's say we've got that idea of the candles. And I love that idea you've given of winter's finished. You want things to feel fresh. How do you take that idea and start sketching out into an email, an actual, like, you know, physical structure and looking at colors, fonts? I mean, some of that should be driven by the brand, but what images are we going to put in? What structure of email do we want? Do you just do one? Do you send 10 out to 10% of the different, you know, 10% of each audience get one version each? Like, how do you turn that idea into an actual email campaign now?
Yeah, absolutely. I do think that the consistency between email and e-com is so, so important, because if you've sent me an email and I don't see any piece of your brand in that, I'm going to feel like that's a really disjointed experience. I might be tempted to say, I didn't subscribe. I don't know who this is from. So using your brand imagery, so logo, absolutely important. Your brand colors, wherever you can, your brand fonts, again, all about that consistency between email and e-com. So that's super important. So I'd say for sure, if you are not building that into your templates, so kind of starting from a structure that includes your brand elements, go ahead and set that up. That's something that you're going to be able to do inside of most ESPs, is create kind of a set of branded templates as your starting point that host all of those branded elements that create that, yeah, visual recognition that you want in the inbox. Great product photography, also super, super important. So I can't stress, you know, the importance of that enough. There's still a lot that you can do with a design tool like Canva in terms of coming up with a great image that sort of supports your product. But I do think having strong product imagery is really important as well. But then for the layout itself, my favorite analogy is likening emails to billboards. And I'll tell you why. The average time that somebody spends looking at an email is 8 seconds. So that's not a lot of time to communicate your message. That's why images, I think, are really still important in email. And it's important to be clear and concise. If you think about the billboard analogy, say you are like this incredible restaurant, right? And you want people to come to your restaurant. If you put your whole menu on the billboard as people are driving past, that's not going to get them to turn. Even if you have like an incredible menu that's full of just like delicious food, if you put too much on the billboard, there's just not enough time to take it all in. The majority of people aren't going to pull off to the side of the road to read your billboard. but if instead you put on that billboard like a gorgeous picture of a big juicy hamburger with a big arrow that says like, turn here for delicious, that's giving me a really direct action that's appealing to me. It's very clear that there's like awesome food just that way. So you kind of want to approach your emails in the same way. Think about someone who doesn't have a lot of time. They're probably going to be scanning. Most likely they're looking at the email on their phone or their mobile device. So you want to kind of think about their headspace as you're designing and just get to the point in as few words as possible, using the best words possible with some great images to support it. So that would be my number one suggestion in terms of like, yeah, coming up with the email content is Think about it as a billboard. You're trying to drive folks to your site. You don't want them to stay in their inbox where they're going to get another distraction in just another second. You want to show them something compelling that gets them to click.
Yeah. And okay, that statistic changes everything, doesn't it? 8 seconds. You got 8 seconds to get someone's attention. And I love that you then couple that with, say, imagery. You know, they say in journalism that an image is worth 1,000 words. Yeah, or picture, they say. So you've got to stick to that. And I was going to ask you about, okay, to get your brand in there, is it worth having templates? But you already said, yes, you should have templates to do that. And I think brands looking at email thinking that this whole design process and this creating email is going to be really expensive, time consuming. I think templates start to change that, don't they? If you've got an email expert, someone like yourself, to actually say, right, we want 10, 20 templates of email, for our email that have the kind of the top, the bottom and some chunks of content, a bit like we use a lot with page builders on a website as well. You know, no one sits there and starts with the first pixel at the top left and goes, what color is that going to be? No, you've got your header, your footer, your font, you've got your color scheme already set up, you've got all your different headings already set. So having that there with like dummy content in, or even, which a lot of people probably do and we do here as well, is you take one of your most successful emails, you click duplicate, and then you change the content going, whatever the design of this email was, we don't even need to really understand it. It's just, it worked. People love this, which might be that big ice cream or something at the top. But I think, I mean, the 8 seconds is really powerful, I think. And actually, if you've not got the most simple product or the most simple offering, or it's not something that can be explained and described in sort of one image or within those 8 seconds, I guess something really to think about is email is not a one trick pony, is it? It's not a one time, you just send one email and that's the end of it. You could tell a story over 4 emails, 4 weeks. And you've got to remember that if you don't send any emails, you're probably not getting that second order from a customer, or you're not getting the first order if they've just subscribed to email. So you've got time. Time is on your side. And quite a few, certainly of Saguna customers we've spoken to and others in the past have said that email is quite a long game, isn't it? So actually keeping the consistency of those emails going, this is part one of four. A bit like we do with our series each month on the podcast, this is part one of four. Today we're going to talk about this particular thing and try and get people to engage for longer than those 8 seconds. And then next week, okay, part two's just come out. And it's like, this is cool. I'm learning stuff. I like these guys. Part three, I might actually click through to the website now. Now that you're encouraging me to, you might have just had a, you know, check out the shop button. But I think certainly breaking down to bite-sized chunks to say, this is, you don't necessarily have to say it's part one of four, but you might go, let's do one editorial thing, one sale related one, and then one product launch one, and have that as our kind of 3 emails a month cycle. But I think certainly breaking it down into those chunks must be really effective for retailers.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's kind of where templates again can come into play. You don't have to necessarily have your template just be your layout. Like you mentioned before, your template can have some of those kind of content blocks as well. So, you know, whether that's like, yeah, this is going to be what our sale template looks like. This is the format that we use to speak about those kinds of promotions and discounts and offers, versus this is a layout that I want to use when I'm going behind the scenes and I'm sharing a little bit more about the backstory or something that's happening right now in the shop. This is the layout that I want to use when I'm incorporating some more of my like user-generated content, when I want to share images that I've collected from reviews or from Instagram. Like, this is where you have the opportunity, yeah, to essentially build your whole library of kind of content. And then it becomes really easy to map out your sending from there. I 100% agree. Being able to send not everything in the one email, but rather kind of make every email just a little bit different and exciting is what's going to keep people opening. Your subscribers who want to hear from you, just like a conversation with a friend, they're going to want to have the same conversation with you every time that they open an email from you. So thinking about how you can make that different, what's something new that you can teach them or share with them about your product or your process, that's going to up your engagement over the long term for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And is there, I mean, this might be a really silly question, but is there a particular template that is like your go-to that you're like, we need to see something creative, or we need to see something that we just know is a good format that works? Is there a certain template you can recommend?
Yeah, I do think simple is strong when it comes to email marketing. It doesn't have to be complicated to work. So just making sure you've got logo and then great image, great headline, some supporting copy that's not in the image, but it's pulled out, so it's live text, and a strong call to action button. And you've got yourself a winning layout there. I would say like most of the time, that's really going to be all you need for a successful email. But if there's more that you really have to say, I'd say follow the rule of threes. Try and limit yourself to like three areas of content within the email. So if you've got kind of a primary thing that you're speaking to, I would say, yeah, just two more sections and you're kind of capped out on what that email really needs to say.
I think it's good. And certainly with content across the board, I mean, I do training exercises with our team, our SEO team, when it comes to content, where I always say to them, like, right, here's the basis of a story. And I want you to write this story in less than 30 words. Then we trim it to 20, then 10, then five word stories. And it's like the amount of waffle that you can just cut out. And sometimes certainly when you look at written text as well, I always find you can start taking like five words and going, actually, if we flip around the other way, it's two words now. And it's stuff like if you were to write an email out to all your customers, a newsletter, and say like, hey, everybody, what are your thoughts? We've been thinking as a team that we would like to know what your thoughts are on this, this, and this, and how all of that works with all of this stuff and where it all fits. Already, I'm, you know, making it, obviously, hypothetically speaking, it's long and it's clunky. Whereas one heading could just say, we want to hear from you. And there could be just three bullets. Why? We value you. We want your input. And we're here for you. So that's why with a button saying like complete the survey or view the survey, and that's it. And I think, you know, as you've just said, I think the power of threes, bullet point lists, break it down. And I also think, you know, you've mentioned it several times, it'd be good to talk about this, is what you're calling, which I love this phrase, live text.
Yeah.
Which is obviously, that's real text in the email, isn't it? Versus text on an image.
Correct.
Why is that important? Why wouldn't you just have a designer go, there's a PDF, send that, or, you know, here's a JPEG, send that out with all the text included in the JPEG.
There's huge benefits, I think, to live text. One is that it's searchable in the inbox, whereas the text that's inside of your image is not searchable. So that's something that it has going for it. I do think like using live text also means that it's going to adjust automatically for the screen where somebody's reading the email. And that's really powerful too. I see way too often people put a ton of text inside of an image. And then when someone goes to look at your email on their phone, it's like so tiny. I'd have to get out a magnifying glass. Yeah. And so it's sort of like missed the whole point. So using live text, you're not going to make that error, right? If you've got a big, beautiful image, maybe your headline is inside of that image. Again, in like a nice, big, beautiful, branded, custom font. But the meat of the message, what you really want to say, is pulled out in that live text. You're going to have just, I think, a much higher engagement rate. And honestly, like that's a trend that I'm seeing across email, is using in general, like much larger fonts. So using less words, making it extremely clear, extremely easy to read, and using that live text whenever possible.
I think as well, a good exercise we do sometimes with emails we're sending out is we obviously send ourselves a test before we send anything to make sure it looks it. Because one thing seeing it in Google Chrome, it's another thing getting it on your phone, as you say, with the image and going like, oh my gosh, I can't see this at all. And sometimes if someone else in my business is sending an email as the boss, I'm the one who always gets to approve it. And I look at it and sometimes I look at it, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is awful. And it's like, right, I won't go and say that, but I now need to have a conversation and say, yeah, it just doesn't look right. This isn't what it should look like. And I think testing, that's good. The other thing we do, which I thought was quite smart, partly because of my idea, is I now reply to that email. I hit reply, but then I send it to someone else. So I'm forwarding it, but I'm using the reply button. Because going back to your question about image, I didn't think of this until you were just answering my question as well. But when you reply, it doesn't include any images. So actually, if a customer gets an email from you and it looks really cool and they're like, wow, I'm going to ask a question. And there's like there's not a no reply at, never do that on email. There's a kind of like, you know, hello at, which I can just reply to and the brand's going to get it. Customer service team are going to come back. So if you hit reply and go like, I'm really interested in this, and the customer service team have to go, in what? You know, like we can't see it because the images aren't there. But obviously having loads of text in the email, it's another small problem it solves. But you've just used the buzzword there, Catherine, trends. And this is where I'd like to finish, I think, is talking about you obviously work with lots of merchants on this. What are some of the email design trends or even email trends that you're seeing at the moment? Bearing in mind, customers will be receiving emails from lots of different brands. So is there anything our listeners can take on board and go, right, people are doing this, it's working, it's popular, therefore my customers are going to start expecting this. What are the trends at the moment that people should be aware of?
Yeah. Well, okay. So I mentioned one, right, which is using live text in your email. So if you're not going to use live text, really think through, send test emails, like you just mentioned, Nick, like send a test email and make sure that the text is large enough to read. I've been seeing definitely a lot of just, larger copy in general, less copy, kind of supporting those images. The other thing that I'm seeing that I think is really interesting is bringing your logo into your hero image, which I love as kind of a design trend. The hero image is kind of what we'd refer to is that like the main image or like, the piece of content that's like really getting people excited at the very beginning of the email. And I'm seeing folks bring their logo down into that image and kind of like incorporate it into the image so that that first piece of the email feels, almost like a great advertisement that you'd see because the logo is sort of incorporated into that design or that product image in a really beautiful way. So that's a trend that I'm seeing that I think is very cool. There's a lot of 90s nostalgia out there. And I think that that's kind of fun. People are really playing into the internet and exploring all kinds of custom fonts. If you're going to use custom fonts, I'd say, keeping those in the image and then leveraging live text. That's going to be way more legible, easy to read, and web safe would be the strategy there. But having fun with your fonts and with your brand and big, bold images, kind of leading the charge in the email, seeing a lot of that lately.
Yeah. And I think kind of mass market consumer brands, which a lot of our listeners will aspire to be like, I find a lot actually with certainly with branding and design, as you say, like the kind of 90s nostalgia, they're not taking themselves too seriously. And that's really important. I think one thing I was... I mean, I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole, but it does relate to design, I think, is customers now are wanting to be more than just entertained. I think a lot of marketing kind of 20 years ago was all about entertainment. And that kind of led from like 70s, 80s. You know, you look at like MTV launching and it's all about entertainment. Now there needs to be like almost like this emotive response to things. And the way the world's going at the moment as well is like, are we looking after our planet? And that is quite an emotive thing. And certainly, I was reading a study that it's over 50% of the UK population now are feeling some level of anxiety towards climate change and, you know, the global problems that we're facing with this. So actually, again, there's this emotive thing that we as marketers need to respond to as much as anything else. So I think exactly as you just said, I think really well about... you know, using custom fonts, being playful, not being too serious about things, I think is really, really important. Really important. And one more point I'd put on testing, I just thought of something else that we test on websites, which I think you should test on email as well, is with an email, when you send it to yourself to look at it on a mobile device or a computer, saying, use the worst possible device you can find. And that's something that someone taught me years ago when we were doing lots of work in kind of video production, sound engineering. It's like, if you can make it look good on the worst screen with the slowest internet connection, you know, get your images to load in low res because you're on a like 2G internet connection or something really, really slow. If you can make it look good on that, then you've ticked that box of accessibility. Everyone can now see it. It's going to work for everybody. Amazing to talk to you today, Catherine. I think we'll draw things to a close there. I think final question from me, final one, which is probably the most exciting question, is if people want to chat to you, if they want to reach out, if they want to follow you online, where are the best places to connect with you? How can people get in touch?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'd say send me an email. I would be excited to talk email design anytime. If you have an email that you would like for me to look at with you, I would be stoked. And you can reach me at Catherine@Seguno.com.
Nice. And how do you spell Catherine? Because there are a couple of spellings for it, aren't there?
There's lots of different spellings. Huh? it's Katherine. So all of the letters there at Seguno.com. Seguno.
Awesome. Well, Catherine, thank you so much for your time, for your energy, and for your input today. It's been a pleasure having you on.
It has been an absolute blast. Thanks for all the incredible questions. Yeah, let's do it again sometime.
Definitely. I think we'll definitely have you back. This has been great fun. And for everyone listening at home, thank you so much for tuning in today. Make sure you check out Seguno's website. Make sure you check out our website. If you haven't already, hit subscribe. Leave us a review because it helps others find the podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back again on Friday. This one's going out slightly late. Apologies. Partly my bad, partly another guest's bad, which wasn't Catherine. But thank you so much for tuning in, everybody. Back again on Friday. So make sure you tune in and thank you again for listening in.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. You can subscribe to our weekly newsletter for exclusive offers at winningwithshopify.com. And don't forget to check out our Facebook group by searching for Winning with Shopify on Facebook. Over and out.